Here we go. All right. This is the Marysville Board of Education regular meeting of Thursday, December 20th, 2012. May I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mrs. Devine.
Here.
Mrs. Lassiter.
Here.
Mrs. Powers.
Here.
Okay, we're here. Can you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? And I would ask that you continue standing when we are done, please. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We want to start off this meeting, just want to real quick touch on, I want to say that our hearts and the hearts of our community go out to those folks in Newtown, Connecticut, as they try to somehow put the pieces back together after an incredibly tragic event. And I would ask that all of you, keep them in your thoughts and in your prayers, not only today or tomorrow, but I mean, it's going to be a lengthy process for those folks. And when an event like that happens in a community like that, it doesn't just stay within their city boundaries. It affects communities like ours and communities across the nation. So the board would like to start this meeting off with a quick moment of silence to honor and to remember all those victims from the Sandy Hook Elementary. So a moment of silence, please. Thank you. All right. Next up is the adoption of the agenda. There is one addendum, number 13, on your back page for a staff resignation. There is also all right, I'm not sure. That's it. That's the only changes to the agenda.
I think we had Steve probably do the finance committee report. We had some down there.
Okay, so change that to. I don't think there was a name, but we'll put Sue's on there. Representative Planet will not be here tonight to do the legislative report, and she apologizes. Had a personal matter that came up, so please cross her name off. Is there anything else? Any other changes? Okay, if not, I need a motion to adopt the agenda with the addendum as spoken, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Devine.
Yes.
Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve Josh White as the November 2012 Classified Employee of the Month, please.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Mr. White, is he... Josh, are you here anywhere?
Yeah.
Come on up. You didn't realize we moved this meeting down here for you.
Thank you. Josh, it's my pleasure tonight to talk a little bit about you and some of the comments that you heard here. You used to recognize you as a great student of our district. So some of those include, when Josh filled in the first shift custodian and made sure all soil and trash are crucially taken care of, he is always willing to go above and beyond. As well, he has a great rapport with all the students and staff in the building, and he speaks with them and creates a trusting relationship and a friendship and security. He has always given 120% to his job as a coworker. Congratulations.
Thank you, Josh, and all you do for the district. Any other further comments? If not, any roll call, please.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mrs. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, we have a presentation from our elementaries highlighting their transition to the Common Core and their work plans for science, social studies, math, and language arts.
You remember the elementaries are taking a team approach since they've been working in collaboration on this work. So, yeah, they're all representing.
We have here, right?
You have a copy.
You have the same copy that's up there, right? Okay.
We're going to follow up. As the elementary team thanked the board a couple months ago, we wanted to show you the plans that we were doing. Basically, our biggest focus this year is language arts and math. We began with language arts and shared with you how we were switching over to Common Core and the steps we're taking. Tonight, we're going to talk briefly about the transition to Common Core and math. And we started our waiver day working on the Common Core. This is a copy of the plan, and this is really what we focused on.
What you see highlighted there is what we're doing with the curriculum map. We've begun the process of analyzing the content organization of the Math Common Core, specifically focusing with the 8 mathematical practices. What you'll see later on here in the presentation was it's a big shift in what we do and how we think about teaching mathematics with our students. We had a brief presentation on our last teacher inserts day in the morning where they got a chance to get some real in-depth knowledge and collaboration with one another before they put it in practice.
And the beginning part of our day was with the presenter, a professional development presenter, Stephanie Baker, and she introduced the Math Common Core. The teachers did some hands-on problem solving, and she got them prepared for the afternoon. And the afternoon was set up to really get into the Common Core, to break apart each of the areas, and also to work on them. How are they going to look like in real practice from month to month? How is that timeline going to look as they start to implement for next school year? This is some of the pictures of them working by grade levels, just some of the things we did. Administrators were part of those teams. And at the end, we really wanted to know, one of the things that we think is very valuable in our staff is making sure, are we hitting their needs? Are we bringing up the right questions? Are we giving them the questions for further thinking? And one of the things we always do is have them write down questions they have or thoughts of things, considerations we need to amend as we take them to the next step of learning and our professional development plan. And there's just some of our questions. And I appreciate the honesty of our staff because they're always willing to say, yes, that got it. No, we still need more here, because we really do want to make sure that we're hitting all the key areas. And as I said, the afternoon then became the mapping.
And we really had the staff focus around 3 questions. What content is taught and when? What skills or learning targets are students learning and mastering? And then do the skills and targets scaffold appropriately? And really the highlight of that is that we want teachers to be able to know what it is they're teaching, which they do, and then how do you take that and differentiate at all levels, so your low-level learners as well as your high-level learners, to make sure that that's scaffold.
This is just a picture of how we use DOT to help them introduce, teach, and assess material to get them started thinking about as they scaffold each of the areas. And this is when we actually did the month-by-month, and this was my third-grade team. I was with the third-grade teachers, and we laid out all of the areas by month so they could make their timeline. How much time did each of these areas need? Because it's real easy to use someone else's work, but we want the expertise of our staffs to make sure that we're giving the proper amount of time to each of the standards as they begin to teach these for next school year.
So when they do one, like let's say you've hit one, do they then go back to the classroom and start implementing that into the curriculum,
right,
or is
now,
this a...
Right now, we're still in the process of unwrapping them, making sure that we are really focusing in what are the differences, what areas need more time, because the whole point of Common Core is to go deeper and get, you know, there's less concepts, but to really go deeper and to make sure that you're hitting all those areas, and so that there is then the next part is going vertical, so that we make sure if we're in a third grade room, are we making sure that we're covering from second grade to fourth grade and hitting all those intermediary stops between.
Great.
Thank you. Do you have any questions?
No, I mean, so it's kind of a tough question, I know, but if I walked into one of your classrooms teaching math, when would I start to see evidence of Common Core being taught in
there? You see evidence already. But
through their conversations.
Right.
A lot of it is the expectations where we're doing it now as part of our O-test for the teacher evaluation you heard a little about this evening, where we go in and the teachers are having the kids be clear understanding of what it is they're learning and why for that relevance. So then that allows them to go deeper where it's not so much the teacher's teaching as what are the kids learning and taking away from it. Mm-hmm. And that is going to be a clear example of what you would see. That's a shift from what they're already doing.
And you'll also see in most of the elementary classrooms, some of our teachers using number talks. It is a very integral part of getting the problem solving, teaching children how to problem solve and how to look at problems, what information to pull. So that process is already, you would see that now in classrooms.
And it builds that numerical fluency when you're thinking of we want kids to be fluent in literacy. It also teaches them that mathematics has a language as well. So it really helps them then process through what it is that they're doing as the content.
So when you talk about vertical learning, if you have a student in there that's above, we call it third grade math, right? It's above, what would normally happen to that student before? I mean, now you have to be able to teach them second through fourth, basically, right? You have to handle kids in that realm. What would happen to them last year if they were above, you know, the third grade level?
Well, all of our staff can differentiate, and with the everyday math, they have been used to differentiating and scaffolding the material. So if you have a learner that needs more support at a higher level, mm-hmm. they can do that. But this is a little bit different because what we're talking about is vertical, is as we shift, we know there's going to be gaps. Because, you know, the OAA test has not changed yet. So our staff has to not only look at the new curriculum, but they have to make sure they're covering any of the gaps that's going to be on that test till we get a full switch over where it's just Common Core material.
And a lot of what they do now is skill-driven, where it's going to be more analytical reasoning, a lot of the 21st century skills that kids have to apply in the real-world workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the shift is happening, and that's where those conversations and the things that teachers are doing.
Gotcha. Anybody else have any other questions?
Well, how is the teaching just in general taking this? I mean, they're excited. And I know they got a lot dropped on them right now, so it's a general.
And they're not sitting behind you right now, so don't look.
You know, I think being authentic, they realize it's the right work, but out of respect to them, it's a different way of doing it. Therefore, it creates a natural anxiety. Mm-hmm. But one thing I would tell you about the staffs that we work with, they absolutely do whatever is asked of them to be able to continue the right path, which is appreciated. Because it's making them better as well as ultimately making the kids better.
And a lot of our staff started working on taking classes and workshops to prepare for this. I mean, a lot of it was grassroots through the elementary because they knew it was coming. So we're very lucky that we have such a great staff that's willing to go with us and, you know, be a part of it and jump on, you know, jump into that learning. So that helps tremendously as you're going through such a big transition.
And seeing the relevance. I think a lot of them see the relevance too. It's not just something that's being passed down.
Great. Mike, thank you very much for the work that you guys are doing. That's fantastic. Next up, I believe, Juliet Letzel and Kathy McGinnis will be talking to us about OTED, which is very exciting.
We were very excited that so many people want to come here
tonight. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
That's exactly. We're going to give you the quick tour of the OTED evaluation system. And to begin with, this is the state framework, and it's divided into two halves. Teacher evaluation will be based on teacher performance on the standards, and then student growth measures. So we're going to sort of take those in two parts where we can talk about what we've done here in our district. I'd like to thank Student Tom Powers for putting this together. He allows me to remain technologically, functionally illiterate. So I very much appreciate it. So on the performance standards, you can see that there are some things that take place as far as formal observation, classroom walkthroughs, pre-conference observation, those kinds of things. And then if throughout the year, that piece of the growth will then, I don't know why, apparently come here, it's also going to come in and click it for me. So it really is to help teachers grow. The whole model is to help teachers grow. So that's what we see here. The first part, again, on the standards, understanding student learning, knowing your content, understanding and using various assessments, planning and delivering effective instruction, create effective learning environments, collaborate, communicate, and assume responsibility. So those seven things are what teachers work on. This year,
it's been quite a deal. The last year we've raised the funds, so we've got our administrators, we've got a pilot group in every building that are working with the teachers and the administrators together, learning this process because we're not all what the state's giving us. So we do have 66 teachers throughout the district that are working on this with every building involved.
So this is our timeline, and this is what we've done. Teachers started with a self-assessment about where they thought they were to evolve the seven standards. There are two times then in the fall that the principals conducted walkthroughs, 10 to 15 minutes, to give teachers feedback about what they saw in their classroom. After those walkthroughs were completed, we had a pre-observation conference with the teachers about their strengths, what we had seen, and what we were going to see in a formal lesson. And one of the things that we talked about and even struggled about is how long do you stay? Right now in the pilot, we said we will stay the entire period, so we see a whole cycle of instruction. You know, it varies though. Some teachers teach for 90 minutes, some teach for 42, so we talked about, well, what do we need to see? Formal observation is completed, and then we sit down again with a post-observation conference with the teachers and have a goal setting that we look at what they want to do and work on for the rest of the year. We look at areas of reinforcement, those things that they do the very best, and areas for refinement, areas that they can grow into. Then that cycle will start over again in January. Right now we're at that midpoint. Everyone's conducted up to their post-observations. And we'll start again with another walkthrough, another pre-conference, another formal observation, and then another post-conference.
Kathy, how many teachers are you doing this year? Yourself?
10.
Okay, about how much time do you figure, or is that already in?
I think up to the point, this first round, it takes about 5 hours a teacher to be really thoughtful about sitting with them, conferencing with them, writing about what I saw, thinking about it. And so I double check. I talked to a couple other principals, and it's about 5 hours. So you can see in my building, if I do all of the teachers that I have, it's 26 whole days of doing nothing with those. You know, I took the smaller building, that's still 153 hours of time. And so I think we have to be thoughtful. I think it's a great process, but I think we have to really think about what are the other things, because maybe people think so, but there aren't 26 days and I'm doing nothing. So I think that we have to think about how we put those things in place. I think this is very important. I think it's the most important thing we can do. But it's certainly labor intensive.
And I think another good point is that the staff is going to keep reporting back to their colleagues, not just the admin. So we're going to have panel discussions, and so people learn along the way instead of this being this brand new thing next year that nobody knows about.
So have you already been reviewing with the staff who's not part of the pilot? I mean, have you guys met and talked about it?
Yeah, there's building meetings that are going on, and in January we're going to have more building meetings with the whole panel of everyone in the pilot, with every building. In that small group to have that discussion.
So if I'm a non-pilot teacher, am I going to have an opportunity at some point this year to maybe just even get an observation? I mean, I know you do.
They will still get
not Marzetti, Marzani, right?
We do use, in my building, yeah. Protocol.
Right.
They still, I think we're doing the same thing that we've always done with evaluations and that, but one of our goals in the pilot was to not let just the pilot group be surprised by this, that everyone gets to hear and understand what's going on. I think it's when we roll it out the next year. We're going to look then at the second half, which we focused this year in our district on the first half of student growth measures. So this didn't turn out to be this way, but you'll notice that it seems like we're jumping through hoops on this, and maybe we are a little bit. So this is what the state, this is the guidelines that the state has established. So the very first thing is that the district establishes a plan to include a minimum of 2 SLOs, or student learning objectives, in non-tested grades and subjects. Grades that don't have an in-course exam, that don't have value-added scores, that would be up to 50% of their evaluation.
Can you explain real quick what an SLO is? Well, because the majority of our teachers are going to have SLOs, right?
Right.
So.
It's really just going to be everything they teach is the overarching SLO is going to be all of the things they teach the year, how they're going to measure them, how they're going to assess them, and how they're going to show growth in.
And there's targets that the teachers are going to make for each of their groups of kids that fall into each SLO. Like
so each teacher creates their own SLO, correct? Each teacher creates their own SLO in conjunction with you?
Probably each grade level in the department. As far as they're all teaching the same thing, that's what we're teaching.
But it's going to be like class.
Right.
Gotcha.
We're going to go through quickly. I'll try not to make everybody sick with this very cool presentation, but the teacher gathers baseline data for each student and it's represented in the SLO. They analyze that. So they look at kids' prior test scores, maybe some pre-assessments. They learn all they can about their students as learners as they walk into the class. They identify rigorous and attainable tiered growth targets. So if I have a class of 26 and I know some things about them, I probably have two or three tiers of growth targets for those students. Then I will select rigorous and appropriate assessments. This again will probably be done by grade levels in departments and in classes. It won't be like if there are four social studies teachers, they all won't use different assessments. They will all seventh grade social studies teachers will use common assessments for those kinds. The teacher submits it for approval probably by the end of November because they've taken now August and September to learn about all their kids and know what they're assessed, and so they're about ready to then start the measurement. We're not sure yet in our district exactly if there's a committee or who exactly is going to approve of these. Those are all decisions that we still have to make about how.
Wouldn't that be like by building? I mean, you wouldn't have an overall committee, would you?
The state's sort of unclear and given a couple options. One is that, yes, it could be the principal, it could be a committee, it could be, it could look different ways. So then throughout the year, the teacher's going to administer assessments and to determine where the kids are, they'll monitor with yearly checkpoints. They come up with a final assessment. They score that to determine if they met those growth targets they established for those students in the early fall. They submit those to the evaluator and they'll have to do it by the end of May so that they can get their final summative rating. The state will have a program by which we can input those scores and then they will be able to compute the data for our district as well as for those individual teachers. And so that completes the cycle. This is what it would look like then. It's very similar to the first half, that you can see then the percent of students that have seen or meet the growth targets and what the rate is going to be, depending on your most effective, above average, average, approaching average, and least average, which are the same ratings that are used in the value-added scores that teachers receive. So that mirrors then other scores that they might receive in that manner. And then finally, you end up taking those two pieces, 50% each, to get a final summative rating for the teacher of accomplished, proficient, developing, and effective.
Can you talk just a little bit about the summative ratings? Because since we have such a large group of people here.
They'll all wait to hear.
Well, no, but I mean, but when are we? Well, you might as well hit them now, right? They are waiting to hear. When we see our ratings come out, I mean, really, proficient for a teacher on this rating scale is actually pretty good.
That's not a good word in a teacher role because most of you, I think, especially if you're proficient, it sounds like you're average. But the state tells us that, well, you're going to live in proficient, you're going to visit accomplished if you're doing what you're supposed to do. And to most of us, that's not good enough. The word proficient makes it sound like we're average, and it's actually saying that you're doing a good job. But that's not what that word reflects. And so we're hoping that somehow gets tweaked eventually.
And when you look at the rubric, proficient is a high bar. It is. So when teachers, certainly in the pilot, when you look at the rubric, that's darn good, solid teaching every day. So I think, visiting accomplished is what we would hope for our very best teachers. But you're right, it's a word that people sort of struggle with because of that. Okay. other questions that we probably can't answer?
Anybody else have any other questions?
The work in progress. Now I'm going to go.
All right, thank you very much. All right, next up we have the superintendent's report.
I have a couple of things that I just wanted to go over with you this evening. First of which, we've been communicating off and on all week about some of the things that have been taking place at the high school. First and foremost, I want to compliment Matt and his team with investigating and communicating to parents and trying to put people at ease, given, you know, I think there's a heightened awareness since last Friday. Certainly, we always take safety issues seriously. To date, it does appear to be a rumor mill, as it's traced back to person to person to person. Additionally, as you know, Mayor Gore and the police department have been fantastic and supportive and have supplied additional resources to the building. So just wanted to update you on that. I know we've talked several times and you've gotten copies of Matt's communications as well, but certainly handled the situation as well as could be expected. The second piece that, as you know, this evening we are going to be covering reductions and then several things along that line. Obviously, we have to approve a plan to submit to the state by December 31st. As you remember, Cindy gave you a letter, I think at the last meeting, talking about that plan and how you will go with a balanced budget into next school year, 2013-2014, and certainly that reduction plan is our component of that compliance. But the other thing, I think we have an opportunity, if you would like to think about a little bit, we certainly worked with the union and shared a timeline which included January 7th as a date that we would issue actually teacher names on a board agenda, discuss those, and teachers would receive their actual RIF notice within 30 days of that timeline. As you know, there was a sense of urgency from the staff to get the wheels in motion with this process and to inform people as quickly as possible, and I think we've honored that. But, you know, that is a self-imposed timeline. If we were interested in extending that timeline, we do know that we held a meeting yesterday on retirement, and we had around 20 participants in that meeting. Some people are still wavering on, you know, making that decision. While I'm not sure it changes the impact of the reduction, but it does allow for shifting to occur so that someone doesn't actually receive a RIF notice and then go right to recall. So we would have that option to entertain as we look forward. It's something for you to consider.
Anybody make any comments on that?
I think that's a great idea, because I think you know, the action of this magnitude requires that we look at every opportunity, and like you said, we just had the meeting on retirement, so if there's a chance, it doesn't make a lot of sense to issue a RIF and then turn around and say, oh, you don't need to, we don't need to let you go. So I think it's a smart move.
What's the timeline for having your retirement paperwork in?
They should have it in within 30 days of retirement. So
I mean, they have to have it in by a certain date, like March 8th.
But I would imagine most of them would want to have it in by April, at least because of that retirement.
So does it make sense to move that back down then maybe to late February? Sometime in March?
I think that the budget bill is coming out in February, which all has us on pins and needles. I sent you a communication today, which the governor was quoted as saying there would be
surprises
in the educational side of that, which puts me on the edge of my seat, though, using the word surprise. So the fear with that, you know, and talking about that clearly, is we certainly don't want to also create a false hope. So we want to make sure we're communicating, you know, along the way as that happens. As you know, we spent Friday talking to employees that would be impacted by seeing, you know, that reduction. So we want to make sure that, you know, we did our due diligence and constantly communicated to them through the process as well.
So we're talking about positions tonight. What we approved tonight is just positions that we are going to eliminate. But to delay the actual RIF you know, to the individual people. We're eliminating positions, but January, February, March is for actual people, right? I just want to be clear when we talk about that.
Correct. Original timeline was to come back from break and have that, I believe it was the January 7th or 8th meeting, where we would actually approve names. We know there will be some shuffling. There's even shuffling as of tonight with the resignation that on our classified side.
So in reality, everybody's going to leave for Christmas break tomorrow, mm-hmm. and they're literally not going to be back until the 8th, right? So that seems to leave absolutely no time in there to sit down and work through those, you know, unless everybody comes in for vacation.
Well, I am confident we work through kind of with working with the union, looking at the bumping and who can teach what, but you're right, it gives a little bit of added time for shifts in the case that someone does say, hey, you know, I went to that meeting, we've talked over break, I have decided to retire, I want to let you know that, or that is my plan. So it would give a little more time to then... We, in essence, wouldn't have to go through the process of putting it on the board agenda, handing them a letter, and then putting them on, you know, calling them back off the recall if that applies.
Sure.
So it seems accomplished for, you know, the notice that was requested of us. And then also, I think one thing we talked about is it's hard to kind of have the conversation, the detailed conversation about how this shift's going to happen because, you know, there's so much that was unknown. But so will this allow you to have those detailed conversations with staff about how things might?
Yeah, and I think, too, understand our compliance issue with December 31st. We have to submit a plan to the state, and that would be another factor in that. That would allow us to take care of that.
So is everybody okay maybe moving that back down to...
Yeah. I mean, is that your recommendation?
March. I mean, is that your recommendation, move maybe down to March?
That's what I would say. If we could look at the March time frame instead of pushing now... And just constantly communicate to the people who we've already talked to, but just keep them in constant communication.
Okay. All right. I'm all right with that. Okay. Amy, you all right with that? Mm-hmm. Yes? Okay. What's next?
And that's all I have for you this evening. I'm going to do a little update. I know Dorothy was planning on being here to do House Bill 555. But we will revisit that. I'll plan in January. If she cannot come, then I'll have something that we can do together. We've talked a lot about the new accountability system and the demands on the school system with that system, but I'll bring you a detailed one page of that.
Okay. Did you want to talk about our levy schedule at all? Or do you want to wait?
Well, I forwarded to you also as a result of the survey that has been taken. We have not had the opportunity to discuss those. I would suspect we need to do that at that first meeting.
We have a working session after our organizational meeting to kind of go over those reviews. So if you look over those, kind of get a feel for those by the time January 7th. Yep. After your Christmas break and, you know, everything else.
Send you the five-year plan. And looking at, you know, what statistically is supposed to be a great time to ask for a levy, and kind of plotted that out for all of you. And as you can see, there are not too many empty spaces for us to seriously consider. So, you know, it's about that long-range planning that we've been talking about and trying to look further than 1 year out to provide financial stability, which has been difficult for us in the district. So... you know, we could probably encompass all that together in that work session.
That would be great. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Treasurer's report.
The one item I'd like to discuss is the audit for fiscal year 12 is completed. We received the unqualified opinion, which is the best for an audit, and very few items that need to be looked at. There's four items that we'll be going over and readjusting some of our board policies on.
Okay. Congratulations on a clean audit. Again.
Thank you.
Next up is the High Point report.
We had a board meeting last night. It's actually a Christmas dinner. They do a dinner before the board meeting, and they have the culinary students. I mean, it's a real formal setting. They come out and wait on you, and it's really nice. I think four or five courses. And then they gave us a big gift box of pastries. The all board attendance.
Yes.
So I think the deadline for ours is beyond that is the second.
Do we need to do that with you or with them? How did I know him?
I believe Donna was going to email everybody out, send it in if you email her back. that would be fun.
Okay.
I'm sure we'll take care of that.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, this is somebody that I want to get to from everybody that's not.
Okay.
And then you can bring the guests back as well. So.
It's a plus one, huh?
The plus one. Yeah. Just a couple of business items that we talked about. Last year, we used the Yumco cleaning out there at High Point, and we went ahead and put the board for capital expenses to put in natural gas lines out there. We got a report that we're about half the energy costs where we were last year as a result of that. So that's pretty promising. And we're not even locking into contracts yet, so they're looking to do that in the later next year, which saves us more money. On the downside, you know, our AEM numbers came in about 90 less than where our 2009 numbers were, which is what we're on for our guarantee. Our funding is based on those 2009 numbers. So we're, you know, big fear there that the state budget's gonna, or the funding form is going to come out and it's going to be AEM based and it might actually take us back. So the budget we're putting forth at the beginning of the year, or you know, roughed out at the beginning of the year, we're doing two budgets. One has flat money where we're at, and one's 10% reduction. And then one other interesting thing that came up in light of the tragedy up in Connecticut is their safety services people were talking about some sort of training for staff. Can't remember exactly what I want to say it's OWLS, but I googled it, so obviously I wrote it down. But it's kind of training that allows them to be more proactive in the situation, teaching that how to, you know, rather than just sitting in the corner type thing. So I don't think that's interesting.
And they're coming there to do it?
I think so. I think two or three staff members have already been trained on it, and they're going to open that up. They have like a safety services day at one of their
Oh. All right, great. Thank you. Next up is our legislative report.
The House Bill 143, the youth injuries, which has to do with head injuries and concussions in youth sports, was delivered to the governor on the 14th of December. And then the SOAR report card bill, House Bill 555, was delivered to the governor yesterday. The 10-day waiting period on that bill is December 31st. House Bill 616, with regard to public records, was introduced in the House on 12-11, which changes the statute authorizing injunctive relief and liquidated damages to compensate for harm caused by the destruction of public records. And that was just, like I said, introduced to that in the House on December 11th. And then a bill we were following last year, House Bill 191, which would change to hours from days.
Correct.
That was referred to Senate Education Committee on the 5th of December.
And that passed the House, right?
It was. It did. It passed in the House on November 28th.
What exactly does it change?
It would change you from having to be in school for a particular number of days to a particular number of hours. And then you could accomplish that in different ways.
That's it?
All right.
Good deal. And lastly is our Finance Committee. Sue.
We met on December 4th, and Cindy gave us an update on the major financial matters, and that was the fact that we had refunded our bonds, which has saved the district $1.9 million over the life of the bonds. We also continued our discussion on cash balance policies, and we will continue discussing that, kind of our main focus right now.
Is there going to be a recommendation coming out of that committee for that?
I believe there will be. I know we talked about making sure that we had some talking points for the policy and that we all felt comfortable with what we had in there. So I think probably within the next month or two that we'll come up with a recommendation. Then we also talked about
Is that something you want them to do?
Maybe not a recommendation. Just maybe some ideas to think about. It's probably a better way to put it. I apologize.
Right.
I thought about that after I said it.
But I think we could get a lot of good feedback from them. And I think it would be nice for us to talk about maybe review any policy. It's kind of sketchy for me, but I think we talked about Cindy maybe. Is that right? Cindy, you were going to put something
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. More. Yeah. Yeah. You had a couple of comments, a couple of adjustments that you wanted to make.
It would just be nice to hear some of those ideas. I mean, you've spent all that time discussing it. It's something that we want to do, just kind of share some of that thought back up at the board.
Bring that next month.
Sure.
Last thing, we also talked about our 2013 member rotation, and actually received an email from our chairman, Bruce Valentino, who's been on the committee since 2008, and he has decided to resign at the end of this year, and I just wanted to make sure we let him know how much we appreciate his service and time that he's been on that committee.
He did a lot of work on that committee, so.
Yeah. A lot of stuff.
Yeah. And that's it.
And when's your next meeting?
Our next meeting is January 10th. We did also talk about our committee, helping out and just looking at different levy options and the timing of levies and whether we combine them. And so again, some ideas from the committee. So I think they were interested in reviewing the survey results as well.
Right.
Oh, that's so
actually one of them.
Okay.
They're definitely a good sounding board for that thing for
meetings. And one other thing that was brought up was also. The idea of at some point looking into a foundation for the Marysville School District, and a nonprofit where people could, just donate to support a variety of things, teacher education, field trips, supplementals.
How do we go about getting that off the ground?
What we want to do is bring in somebody from another district where they have a foundation,
right?
And just have them talk us through what they've done. Just get some ideas from
that. I'd be real interested in doing something like that.
I think so.
Okay. That it?
That's it.
All right, great. Thank you. All right, next up, we are so close to public participation. First up, Juliet, that asked for a spot on the agenda, and this is your spot.
Thanks. Welcome, everyone. Hello. I'm Juliet. I'm the union president and a proud teacher at Huntsville Middle School. To the board, I'd just like to say I know that you put the policy on the agenda today. I can go back a few years, and I think we had public participation on three long, not too many 5 years ago. So I do hope that you give consideration of what people are doing tonight. A few weeks ago, or really the last few months, this community will let us know, and your district employees have lived in limbo. We've been on edge, our nerves have been a wreck, and our morale has been crushed. Rumors have been flying, and then we've been waiting. Board, you've had work sessions, many hours that we appreciate you for, but then it still wasn't good. So then we waited some more, and then you have distraction on why you have your cuts, and that still is hard for a lot of people to understand. Let me tell you about this work process from our point of view of where we've been with me, the administrators, and your leaders here over here. JP and I have met, he's my vice president. We've put a lot of hours in looking at language, working with OEA, meeting with Diane Lynette and Cindy, looking at security lists, trying to get answers from OEE, only being misled, and having to deal with all weekend to make another move in the last couple of days. I'd say last Friday was the worst day of my career. On that day, JP and I went to each school and supported our members. He went to high school and I went to all the other buildings. I gotta say that the principals did their best to fight back tears. I didn't always win that battle. As these teachers came into their offices, their professionalism of emotional support for their staff, I cannot give enough kudos. All the principals had covers available for their staff, so therefore, when they heard this awful news that they weren't going to have a job next year, they were allowed to go home, which also very good job by our leaders. And most of them that I worked with that day did take an opportunity to go home, so they didn't have to go back and try to put it up front that they were faced with news. To see those looks on their face when they walked in the office was just devastating. It's devastating for them to have that feeling. But to see them turn the corner and see my face, some of these people I've never met before. A lot of them are brand new teachers and they're getting bumped out of positions and they're doing a great job. But again, it goes back to your decision as folks, but it also goes back to this community that set it up. All of these discussions that we had were all private. I want to make sure that's really well known. Kind of storm that things were said from classes of kids and things like that, and that's just absolutely not the case. So, JD and I were at every one of these meetings,
You know what, I want to stop you real quick, and I want to thank you for pointing that out, because I know as a board, we've heard wild tales of this, and I appreciate you pointing that out, that none of that was done in front of students or anybody else.
No, not one of it. If kids were in the room, it might have been like in high school, they had a lot of PAs, and maybe somebody's playing time, and so those kids were asked to leave, and they had this private conversation. So, I mean, it was done with utmost respect for the staff that's going through it, and the principals handled it. It just as we expected them to. And I'm glad that Davey could be there and support me in this, and I'm glad that both of us could be there for our members. The only person I know that can understand the situation how those teachers felt was Davey. He's been there before, which he's talked about before too. I've learned so much over this process. I think I've become a stronger leader in this union and a stronger teacher and individual. Our members have done, have only keep doing their jobs for less. They do get more kids, and we have lots and lots of colleagues each year. We will move and we will push forward. I know that as a staff, but that's not easy. I've learned that this community doesn't want to pay for the excellence that we continue to serve and give to them. I also learned that this public, I wonder about what's valued. You know, other things haven't been touched. You cut staff and you cut days and you cut nothing else. And I still can't understand that. You had a framework, which I did, but it's a framework, it's a starting point. It's just that. I think you had other options to look at, and I didn't see that happen. I believe that we can still move forward from this, though. I can only hope that my members continue to stick together and not only do support each other's members, but also our other support staff that have been cut. I hope that you as a board are ready for whatever the future is going to bring, especially with this new budget from the governor and all the other things that the state's doing with funding. I also hope that the board listens to Cindy as she talks about how we have money or we don't have money, and then you plan accordingly. I want you to be proactive and just let us do what we do. We are the teachers. What we do best, we teach our kids. So, with that, that's all I have. I do hope that you give
David
a second to
call me,
but thank you for
thank you, and I want to mention Friday had to be an incredibly difficult day, and I appreciate both of you being there for your members. I've done it on an individual basis. I couldn't imagine doing as many as you had to do. So I don't know if thanks is appropriate, but my heart definitely goes out to you having those conversations.
Thank you very much for saying that. It's very much appreciated. Good evening, everyone. Those of you who don't know me, my name is Jay Grigion. I'm currently serving the school district, 20 of our teachers and cross-country coaches at Muscle Middle School, the newly appointed head boys varsity track coach at Marysville High School, and the vice president of the Marysville Education Association. It was my lateral role that delivered me the worst day of my professional career last Friday when I accompanied a principal around the Marysville School to inform 9 teachers that they do not have a job in Marysville next year. No teacher was taken out of any class. All were spoken behind closed doors in private, and all were given the option to take the rest of the day off and have a substitute cover their class. Tears were shed, hugs were given, and respectful handshakes were exchanged. I personally lost my first teaching job due to budget cuts, as I mentioned before to all of you. But last Friday was much, much worse than that, and more difficult than using my own job 3 years ago. Although I wear many hats serving the young people of this district, I will now be speaking to you as an individual for the remainder of what I have to say. Fair warning, I'm now going to call out every single person in this room, including myself. A major reason, not the major reason, why this auditorium is packed to the gills failure of this past November schooling. I'll start at the top. Marysville School Board. This failure starts with you. It is your responsibility. The message to the community, the teachers, the principals, and the voters was unclear, fragmented, and in some places incomplete. You are the elected leaders of this school district, and people have entrusted their vote with the credentials that you campaigned on. All but one of you voted to place this levy on the November ballot, and conventional wisdom would say that your main goal would to have been to pass it. I saw one of you actively campaign against your own board's levy as a guest speaker at a community meeting in Dublin a few weeks prior to the election, where the topic of the evening was why school levies should not be passed. Wow. That was the question. All the tough decisions and hard work that you have put in as leaders in the past few weeks regarding specific cuts that should have been done 4 to 6 months ago as a specific framework so that everybody involved, all stakeholders, teachers, parents, principals, voters, and kids would have known who and what was being cut. And the fact that you did not have the courage, foresight, and flat-out bravery as the majority to place atop the potential cut lists athletics, extracurriculars, and or busing was quite frankly to me embarrassing. Your job as elected officials is to preserve the academic excellence of our school district by cutting teachers before a supplementary program, and an example of that would be sports, of which I coach two sports here in this district. It's fundamentally wrong. I'm now going to have to reword that absolutely awesome student-athlete speech that I give to kids from now on, because any one of them can call me out on it, on the policy that you presented. My next call out is to the staff of this district, and I am one of you. For the levy campaign, I estimated that I personally reached out to 90 families in email, phone calls, community meetings, or face-to-face chats. I also mailed out 50 factored-in postcards to families asking for their vote for the school. I failed. It was not nearly enough. And to everybody, I'm sorry. The staff involvement in this levy campaign was uninspired and obviously ineffective. You heard all that I did, and I consider myself a failure. And I want to ask every staff member, what did you do? Even if you were not cut, all class sizes will increase because others are being cut. What would you have done different? I can think of countless amendments to my levy involvement. Last to be called out, the community of Marysville. You overwhelmingly turned down school levies that would have kept all current services and positions intact. No raises for anyone. No new jobs. Just keeping intact a dedicated cluster of workers that collectively helps to deliver your district's honors of excellence with distinction 2 years in a row. I respect the democratic process. I respect the community's decision to turn down money, but I do not and will not accept it in any way, shape, or form. Just as I say to my students, I'll say this in America. I will not give up on you. Someone much smarter than I once said, it takes a village to raise a child. Supporting your schools does many things. Children investing in your community's future. It shows that you're paying it forward, that some educator helped you along your life path in some way. It shows your collective effort for the greater good of all of us. And as my fiscally conservative Aunt Janet would tell you, and I quote, good schools increase my property values, and bad schools will bring them down. All of us fail together, and the sooner we own up, up to that better. We must rally and move forward together. And I'm here to tell you that this is nowhere near over. There are two renewal levies left in May. Does anyone know what's going to happen if those two don't pass? Our collective mistakes are just a microcosm of the problem with public school funding in Ohio. We need to all together go to the crux of that problem. I'd like to share with you my New Year's resolution. In 2013, I'm going to write Governor John Kasich a letter every single day demanding I can sign, will sign, or may sign $2.9 billion in educational cuts and to demand the restoration of fair public school funding with my tax dollars. I will follow that up with asking about his idea to eliminate TPT taxes completely, which would take away tens of millions of dollars from communities like ours in the next 10 years. I hope he responds, but if not, he will suffer the most dire consequences that I can muster as an average American. He will lose my vote. Just as I do for the 140 students that I see on a daily basis. I know I'm a good leader and a good teacher because others who are good leaders and good teachers have told me so. I'm also not a fool. I know very well I may have said potentially unpopular things to every person here tonight. And do you know what I've learned from it? Leaders have the courage to do that. Leaders have the foresight to make unpopular, difficult decisions for the greater good. I would call many of you in this room leaders and bosses, particular bosses of me, school board, principals, athletic directors, my man, vice president right there. Let's find ways to truly collaborate in the future. My students are why I'm so proud to be a monarch. To the students of Marysville, I'm so sorry for not doing enough or inspiring others to do enough. I will learn from my mistakes just as I teach you to do daily in my classroom. I'd like to wish everyone here happy holidays. Members of the board, thank you very much for giving me extended time and I'll tell you one time.
Thank you, Mr. Richards. Last one before we get to public participation. Actually, Mr. Zimmerman had asked to speak for the board tonight. Mr. Zimmerman.
Oh, Larry.
Okay. First of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak. I know this is probably kind of weird, but I'm a taxpayer and I guess a citizen. I was up there and I respect all the decisions and all kinds of tough decisions you have to make. But briefly, I 40 years ago when I came here, I worked with some tremendous educators. and staff members who served this committee long before I arrived. One of those folks was Warren Wyden. He was a longtime principal and one of the most successful teachers and basketball coaches in Marysville history. Warren was proud of Marysville and his years of service. When I became an administrator here at Marysville, I remember his words. He said to me, "We are a family in this community." Your job as a leader to take care and respect that family and serve them well. I hope I never had forgotten that message. Marysville is truly my family. I know and respect the uniqueness of me speaking to you as the past superintendent, and I apologize if that offends anyone at all, because that is not my intent. Actually, I had to talk myself for a long time to even submit a request to speak, but I felt I needed to offer my thoughts. What I'm asking you to do is to go, and I respect what Diane has already mentioned, that you're going to postpone the risk a little bit of time. I understand the tough decisions, and I respect folks who have to make them. Been there. Had to put my signature on lots of pieces of paper that we submitted to the state with balanced budgets, and we had to make some decisions about that. I've been in your seats, and again, I respect it. I also understand the need to file the claim that you talked about earlier and your set of assumptions with the state of Ohio by December 31st, or thereabouts, as you plan to meet the deficit budget that you have. I know you are obligated by law to do that, and I respect your attempt to do it. However, I also understand that the state can care less how you meet your financial goal, as long as it is filled. Therefore, what I'm asking you is that when you submit your plan, that you then set it aside and then fully study your assumptions that led to that plan, so that they can be fully reviewed over the next 3 months. Currently, the only thing that anyone knows is that there are going to be a bunch of people and a bunch of cuts made that are all personnel cuts. But what does it truly mean? What does the district look like once those cuts are fully implemented? If I ask you that tonight, I know you couldn't tell me, because you don't know which staff members are going to land where yet. So until that is done, let's take time to study what you have done, what they are, so that we all understand it, and so that there aren't rumors, and there aren't the he said, they said stuff that you often hear in the community. I believe the community, the kids, and parents need to know what their 2013-2014 school year will look like if your plan is fully implemented. What courses will remain? What courses will be lost? Currently, the district doesn't even know what the staff bumping is going to look like and when all that will settle out. Things like, what does the high school day look like once the cuts are implemented? Will there be an 8-period day or a 7-period day or a 9-period day as you currently have? Can kids even fill their schedule now that so many courses don't exist? What do high school kids do if they don't have classes? Do they go home? Do they go to study hall? All those things need to be determined. And what about the other buildings and their schedules? What will they look like? Will they be the same or will they be different? Now, one other thing I'd like to point out is and ask you, and that is, what the cost of your unemployment in your plan? How many staff members have to be reduced just to meet the unemployment costs? How many new jobs are actually being created and funded at the same time you're paying unemployment for those folks who are not? Isn't that a double cost? And One thing I know about Marysville, by running as many levees as I did and participated in over 40 years, is that Marysville does not like to spend bad money. Matter of fact, I'm not always sure they like to spend good money. But we have to be sure what those options are and what they aren't, and so we can be very honest with our public. I would like to submit to you that after you submit your plan, that you take the next 3 months and get some committees very active to not only look at the RIF, the people who are RIF, as I heard Diane say earlier, but what is the impact of each of those and what are your options to keep that from happening. I love this community, and I love this district, and this entire district family. They have been my family for many years. Please honor, by taking time to look at your reduction list and the assumptions, and allow yourself and all the others to better understand what it is and what it isn't, and so everybody can understand that if there are other options that can be implemented, what are they? The future of this district is counting on you, and the kids are counting on you even more. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your thoughts, Mr. Zimmerman. I hope in sharing those you haven't undercut our new superintendent in the job that she's trying to do. To be honest with you, you could have... Look, thank you. This is not an open forum for you. All right? Yes. How about you be respectful, please? Public participation.
I voted for you.
That was your choice, ma'am, not mine. First up is Rasheem Gold. I'm sorry. And I just remind you that it's 3 minutes, and someone will give you a sign that you're 2.5 minutes in.
Well, I do have something prepared, however, due to the crowding situation, the fact that myself and multiple students over the last several years have been always allotted more than 5 minutes, or let's say 5 minutes, I would ask that you would allow me, 2 members, myself and a senior board member, be allowed to finish the 5 minute prepared comment,
because our voice
is their very craft.
Go ahead.
So I would like to say thank you so much for your time and your service. I greatly appreciate it. My name is Shane Golden, and almost 2 years ago, I spoke on behalf of our indispensable oral program. As I stated then, it was apparent that a solid academic foundation was being built. And in assuring, my children personally discovered favorable academic choices. Yet critically and equally important, the opportunities to participate in our music program is the very catalyst to increasing their academic performance, molding them and their future. In 2010, the number 10 year of oral programs have quadrupled, reflecting the deep thirst for community music in the community. Our symphonic choir performance date competition earning all superior ratings. Our acapella choir was consistently being invited to perform, and our show choir season concluded with a third place win at Nationals in New York City. Hours spent excellent instructional learning preparation. Too many to calculate that I and hundreds of families have witnessed our first-rate music staff propel students with essential knowledge that yields excellence. Jeremy Alfera, who is on this list, is the very heart of our choral and show choir program. Hundreds can provide testimonies of his tremendous contribution and lifelong footprint in our community and the vast miles beyond where the grass is supposed to be greener. Under Mr. Affair's direction, high esteem is held for Marysville kids as faraway friends share their thrilled to host our students, known to be friendliest and most respectful. Friends in Illinois, Virginia, California, and so on share hugs, tears, and applaud our soloists and performers as they are served by gifting grace. This driven and dedicated Fuller Ensemble, under Mr. A's guidance, comprehends camaraderie, integrity, work ethic, and the dependent relationship of music to academic excellence. So you can assimilate our shock, grief, and the very confusion that is existing because of your 40% reduction to our music department. You see, it is Mr. O'Hara who is in this program the treasure of affording our students to reach their full potential. Our district mission states that we are to provide educational opportunities for students of all ages and abilities so they may reach their fullest potential, so they will make meaningful contributions as lifelong learners to our community and society. Because of our CURL program in this grade, our students live this mission statement and make meaningful contributions as life learners. Summer months led by upperclassmen presenting and performing to overflowing venues, countless students assist or participate in productions, concerts, show choir programs, and summer camps. Inspired students travel to camps and conferences where they are exposed to creative workshops, networking, and enrichment opportunities. They proudly represent our community in return for the knowledge and the fire to share and pay it forward, and will do so again next spring upon having the chance to perform on the Grand Ole Opry stage. Last May, choral students learning of elementary music, Maryland's teachers, Maryland Quinn's retirement, organized to attend her attendance celebration and surprise her with song and tribute to her life's work and the meaningful impact she so many years earlier had in her academic careers. Dinner tables across Marysville have opened lines of critical communication with children because it is music that creates a safe, positive, and open vessel. Paramount educators such as Mr. O'Hara fuel our children's desire and devotion to work and creation, sparking productivity and academic excellence. Our my youngest, now a thriving freshman, among the over 400 plus choral students, our oldest, now a senior, has blossomed and is reaching her full potential because she spent 6 years under this positive instruction and contagious direction. She has been accepted to 5 universities and has received multiple scholarships and honor program invitations because she was able to reach her full potential. So in closing, I am a senior parent remembering meaningful hours in this fact and students who have taught and touched me. With tremendous appreciation and value this long-term coming and its point, we celebrate and commend our senior members as they shed tears in realizing their upcoming path of change, but grasp the very gravity in which their path was influenced and forever impacted because of Mr. O'Hara. These inspiring young adults, many of whom extend their music vocation beyond MHS, bring joy and hope and there's no doubt of their passion and gratitude for having traveled this path with him. To consider explaining any other journey would be beyond regrettable. So with respect, we ask you to have the moral courage to stop and postpone and reevaluate your decision to vote. Passage of your measure is not in direct conflict with our mission statement and will not afford the, every student the ability to reach their fullest potential. We cannot have both. Thank you very much.
Don Burns.
Good evening. My name is Don Burns, and I'm representing the Marysville High School Business Technology Department. Specifically tonight, I would like to briefly voice my concern for the elimination of the high school technology, business courses, staff, and and what this means for our students and community with this lost opportunity. Our students and community will lose, number one, less opportunity for students to attain personal finance graduate requirement by the elimination of the entrepreneurship class. Number two, of the five collegiate adjunct professors are being cut from the business technology department. Number three, 21 sections of college credit classes will be eliminated. These are mainly technology courses with some business that promote our district and the state's vision of striving toward achieving career and college readiness. This is significant. Students and parents will lose considerable amount of college tuition savings and valuable time. And just this past semester, students earned nearly $18,000, that's one semester, for college tuition savings from the technology and business courses they have taken. Last year was the first year for the dual enrollment college program, and our MHS students, school-wide, across the curriculum, saved over $179,000, and this demand is continually growing among students and parents. This is significant. I'd like to read one of the many student-parent testimonies that reaffirm the importance of the technology and business courses that students take. This is just a short email I just received this last month. Dear Mrs. Burns and Business Department, I was wondering if you still had your syllabus for all the computer and business classes that had dual enrollment. If you could email all of those to me, I have the opportunity to exempt a computer science and engineer class here at OSU since I have so many computer credits that transfer. I already exempted accounting 1 and 0.7 away from accounting 2. I have exempted statistics also. If you could send me any syllabus, that would be amazing. Thanks. Zach Baker, class of 2012.
Ma'am, could you summarize them?
I followed up with Zach, and he reported he saved $3,750 worth of college credit at OSU, and because he had a total of 16 semester hours that transferred. This is significant. Parents and students know they need these college and career readiness elective courses and offered in our current Marysville High School format, not replace our programs with outside services. This is evident by our year after year full enrollment and the demand for special or scheduled requests. We want our high school to rate excellent in the performance measure on the state report card when dual enrollment participation is going to be recorded this next year. Rest assured, our technology courses are integrated into the core curriculum and will serve as an essential component as our students successfully move toward the Common Core. I ask the board, please restore the hope, the trust, and the consideration to our students and community in supporting all of these programs tonight and all of our programs that offer so much to our kids and make Marysville that special place that we can continue to say we are proud to be a monarch.
Bill Steele.
Keep this as brief as I can. Let's see what happens.
The Steele family has lived in Yankee County for more than a few months. My grandparents arrived nearly a century ago as a married couple, neither having finished even elementary school. In spite of that, they raised 9 children as adults, all of whom graduated from either Watkins, Broadway, or Northwestern High School. 2 went on to graduate from college. Both of them became public school teachers. My father and mother, who herself never graduated high school, raised 3 other children. With a desire to see that their children receive the best possible education, my sister attended Grant Nursing School. My brother and I graduated from Capital, Ohio West City University, respectively. We both chose to become public school teachers. My wife and my only child graduated from Arizona High School, the Ohio State University, where he was a member of the 2002 National Championship football team, but much more significantly as one of the finest teachers at Dublin Jerome High School. The 5th generation of Steels is represented by our grandson, Cole, who is in the first grade of Ohio Elementary. That being said, most accomplished educator in the family is not even from the direct bloodline of Newstead as a result of marriage. She is the hardest working, most dedicated educator I've ever known. My wife, Carla, made the decision to become a teacher in 1984 after spending 8 weeks working with me and 20 other middle school science teachers and their families during the National Science Foundation workshop. Once the role had always been, the die was cast, and she was determined to do her best. As a result of her dedication, she wasn't there when her father passed away in 1988 as she was working late on a project at the university. She's missed many family events during the ensuing years as she put work ahead of family on too many occasions. Those who benefited the most from her sacrifice are the students and the teachers in this district. Many in this room discussed her unparalleled efforts to teach those willing to learn of all ages. When the recent accident took place in the board office in the early morning hours, several who knew her were afraid she may have still been in her office working from the night before. She and her colleague, Yvonne Boyd, provided this district with well over a half century of experience in both classroom teaching and teacher training. By the way, they both had young professors too. They both understand what needs to be done to allow Marysville to earn yearly ratings of excellence with distinction for the state, but much more importantly, to make sure every student is provided the best possible instruction. That is why I was completely taken aback when I got the call last week. As she carefully explained that the superintendent and the assistant had just told her that not only was her position being eliminated, but she would no longer be permitted to work in this district in any position. I must say this was quite startling news since earlier statements by the same people related to positions most significantly affecting the education of her children would be preserved. It goes without saying our family, as well as all of the families who received similar notices more recently, have gone through some difficult days since this fateful pronouncement. The first memorable quote from my wife, which began her adventure in teaching, was indicative of her fears as she gained knowledge and experience. She was terrified that she wouldn't measure up, mainly because she's always been an overachiever. After several days of working in classrooms with a variety of teachers in the Marion school system, she came home, bit relieved late one evening, and complained, "I know that I can be better than the worst." She was right about that. What she didn't realize at the time, and still doesn't realize to this day, is that she is as good as the best. It certainly would be a shame for the students and the teachers in this district to lose such a dedicated and knowledgeable resource. This is typically my favorite time of the year. After participating in another National Science Foundation project, Mount St. Helens, dealing with natural disasters, I developed an interdisciplinary unit for my classroom based upon A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. The writer not only created a wonderful story, but he accurately documented the social and climatic conditions in England early in the 19th century. Students were able to hear how drastically conditions have changed for those less fortunate in our society since the writing of the novel, but also how significantly climate has changed primarily as a result of human activity. The book is a very good literary and historical document to supply some of this information. The first spirit to visit Scrooge was his departed partner, who, quote Ebenezer himself, "has always been a good man of business."
Marley at this point responded quite emotionally with the following. Business, mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business. I only wish now that a bit of the spirit of the Dickens novel can be visited upon those who have crafted what we now face with these proposed cuts. It is time that mankind became our business model once again. The Marysville school system has existed for as long as I've been associated with it, with a sense of family. It was with a sense of shared sacrifice that many difficult situations were overcome in the past. That has now disappeared in a very few months. We now operate from a business model created through a conservative agenda that puts students and the services they will be offered far down the list of priorities. There have been and always will be natural disasters on this planet. Unfortunately, many of the worst disasters we face today are man-made. The one our school system faces is a product of a decade of war of sitting back and allowing business and state government to dictate how our district will function. I spoke with an individual who was intimately involved with the business side of the actions that eliminated the tangible personal property tax. He was assured by higher-ups in both government and industry who promoted the change that it would not take one penny away from our local schools. We can now see how well that particular closed door deal has turned out for our children and this community.
Mr. Steele, can you please? I apologize.
You know what? Those next two names on there.
I know.
Since this is quite emotional, they didn't feel they could hold up. Yeah, you can see I'm doing real well.
Okay.
So you can mark those two off if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Some may be unaware of the facts of the group. Some may be unaware of the fact that the group that devised this current plan for our schools has labeled themselves the Dream Team. To my knowledge, only two of the five have ever stepped into a classroom to teach. The original Dream Team was a group of highly paid professional basketball players masquerading as amateurs who managed to win the gold medal at the 1992 Olympics. Marysville's self-proclaimed Dream Team was a group of well-paid amateurs masquerading as professionals whose brief existence was marked by one employee participating in shooting the past of life, the education of thousands of children and the careers of dozens of adults depended on, along with this proposal on the table this evening. I don't think any reasonable person would call this a dream.
Ashley Long.
My name is Ashley Long. I'm a parent of a first grade boy at Green Elementary. I'm here to convey the importance of positive role models in our school and ask that we retain Mr. L, the only male teacher at Green Elementary. Has said that male primary school teachers are vital to finding positive male role models for young boys. She said the need for strong role models as comes into the lives of young children is more apparent than ever in the light of the increasing numbers of children experiencing breakdowns of the traditional family unit, growing up in single-parent families and not having a male figure at home. Male primary school teachers often can be stable and reliable figures for the lives of children that they teach. They inspire children to feel more confident, to work harder, and to behave better. The Ohio Department of Education's website states that teachers believe that having a male role model and seeing men and women work well together is good for students, many of whom come from single-parent homes. The lack of male teachers, primarily at the elementary level, is reaching epidemic proportions in this country. Nearly one-fourth of American children live in mother-only homes. There is a desperate need for young boys in our present society to have respect for themselves and others, to gain self-confidence, to be strong morally and spiritually, to be comfortable with their identity as being men. Because there is a deficit in male role models at home and in community where young boys live, male teachers are the best hope at role models for young boys. It is easier to build strong boys than to repair broken men. Letting them forever go. Our students and our district a profound disservice, as documented by evidence-based practices. I ask that you please keep him on staff and allow him to continue on this quest of positively influencing, guiding, and teaching our children. His passion for his students is one that I have not witnessed very often. He is a critical part of the foundation of Inman Elementary, and without him there, the negative impact will be immediate. How this will negatively impact our children, only time will tell, but based on research, it is not a risk that the district should take. Marysville is on a very slippery slope with regards to drugs and criminal activity in our community. This is certainly not a time to eliminate conflict male role models. It's a time when we should not only retain people like Mr. L, but work very hard to recruit more just like him. Thank you.
Thank you. Ashley Sabado. Thank you. I had about a 50-50 chance of getting that right.
Everybody gets it wrong. Hello. My name is Ashley Sabado, and I am a 2010 graduate of Marysville High School. During my time at NHS, I was involved in a number of various activities, but none of them worked for me as choir and show choir. Some of you may obviously know why I'm speaking tonight, because I support the music program in Marysville, and I think it would be a devastating blow to the high school and the community to be doing what we expect more stuff. I sat down all yesterday in front of my computer, blindly staring at the screen, trying to come up with a way to make people who are never involved in music understand what a mistake it would be to cut some of the staff at the high school. Eventually, I realized that the only possible way would be to give them a little bit of a glimpse of the experiences I had and how the music program has helped me be a person cleaning the room. Being a part of the choir program inside and outside of school helped me grow in ways that I could imagine possible. These experiences taught me discipline, which meant going downstairs to my basement sometimes for hours on end to practice these outside of school. It taught me how to work well in large groups because I knew that my personal decisions would directly impact my fellow classmates and fellowship our members. It taught me time management, especially when we have 3-hour practices multiple days a week as well as show choir competitions over the weekend. The things that I learned also helped me with other school subjects, such as having pride in my own work and thinking outside the box and making brainstorming ideas in my traditional classes. Without having the opportunity to be up on stage time and time again, I probably not even stay at the time of doing it. Next, and most importantly, I would like to talk about Nathan, who has been an inspiration to all who have pleasure to meet him, and his dedication to his students is so evident, a genius of a musician and a gifted teacher. That man is named Jeremy Alfaro. Mr. Alfaro has a way of teaching that inspires students and makes them want to do the best that they can be. His love for music is palpable, and anyone who knows him well would agree he spends the majority of his time focusing on choir and show choir, whether that's writing music or choreographing. He eats, sleeps, and breathes music, and that joy, love, and music just comes out when he teaches. And now, of course, everyone who has ever been involved in the music program knows how special it is. But Jeremy Alfaro is also known across the country, East Coast to West Coast, for his quirky out-of-the-box ideas that many would consider brilliant. Aside from his many accolades, there is something else that sets Mr. Alfaro apart from other teachers. And that is his ability to create an environment that allows kids to be themselves. He encourages goofiness and creativity and makes it abundantly clear that all you have to do in life is be yourself. Although I know he disagrees with me, I feel like I have him to thank for encouraging me to pursue my passion for music. For my college auditions, he worked with me countless hours and gave me advice whenever I asked him for help, just as I know he did for hundreds of other students. He prepared me not only for my future in music, but for life as well. It would be such a mistake to lose him at Marysville High School because without him, the music program would simply fall apart and the entire school would still be intact. I came across a quote recently that I found to be extremely true. Many highly talented and creative people think they are not, because the things they were good at in school wasn't valued or was actually stigmatized. This joke comes from me, because although I did get good grades in high school, I never really felt comfortable in a traditional classroom setting. There were times when I felt out of place and was challenged in subjects just because I thought about things differently than others. I can't possibly describe all of my wonderful experiences and the enormous ways I've been touched by this program and its wonderful directors. You can be here for days, but I know that I probably already ran out of my And I know that it would be easy to dismiss me because I'm one person involved in not about the high school memory. But it is not easy to dismiss a group of people who would be tremendously affected by this decision. And if that isn't enough, think of all the future students who would look just like me, who would be missing out on that creative outlet in school and a wonderful teacher like Ms. Rockera. Sir Ken Robinson once said, "It is education that is meant to take us into the future that we cannot grasp." We don't know where the future is headed, and the only way for our generation and future generations to be successful is by preparing them as best we can by making them creative and innovative individuals. I pray that you can come to a decision that is best for current and future students and teachers, as well as members of the community. Thank you.
I would just mention to the board, we've certainly gone past our 30 minutes. I think it's appropriate to extend that time another 30 minutes, but I'm going to... Is everybody all right with that? Okay. Next up. Candy Maholtra. Is that right, Candy?
We're going to make it work. We're going to, going to fall apart, or we're just going to fall down, and we're going to make this work. You know what? Marysville schools, right across the board, man, that they saved our lives, all three of our lives. Marysville schools, my employer, the schools my kids were attending at the time, and I had to tell you that my oldest stepped up to be the savior of the family, a family. And she was like, well, we're not going down, and I'm certainly not going to grieve here. I'm going to hold everybody up, and I'm going to take care of business of our junior high school. And she did that. And I don't know if she grieved all that much. But she did something for herself. And you got to do something for yourself. This is a kid who's been dancing and singing for years. So she didn't make show choir her freshman year, but she did try out again in the spring of her freshman year. She made it then. Her sophomore, junior, senior year, she was in show choir. And her sophomore year, grief finally kicked in. And not getting too detailed, did a number on her. And I'm telling you, very sincerely and honestly, everybody, I'll look you right in the eyes. Show choir saved her life. You understand me? Things were tough. General O'Hara and show choir saved my daughter's life. So, what does it mean to me? Well, that's why I came here with no speech, talking off the cuff. It means everything. It's so personal for me. So personal for my family. And I told the show choir directors, all three of them, I just always loved all three of them, Mr. O'Hara, Mr. Robertson, and Mrs. Silcott. You saved anyone's life. I don't think they knew what I meant by that, but I meant it. And just everything it's about, oh my gosh. If you could just imagine that for a moment, it's only one story. But I'm just a freshman at Kent State, and she's going into dance education, supposed to be choreographer. She's so successful. She came home after her first semester, and she did good. And, her little sister is a sophomore in the show choir too, and it's saving her life too. I love Marysville schools. For me, it's more than a bottom line or a dollar or whatever. It's been everything to my family. So maybe I ran out of time. I don't know. I didn't write the name, but I love Jeremy O'Hara. I love show choir. I also got to be the, just as a side, I got to be the summer theater director, summer theater workshop for Marysville for kids 10 to 14 years old. And for three summers, I got to be the parent advisor while my daughters were involved in that. I actually was one of my student directors. And I got to tell you, though, something very unique to Marysville is the pool of extremely talented musical and artistic students. It's unique, it's unusual. Listen, I'm looking at all these faces out there tonight, and I remember, I'm going to call you on the scene, I get excited. So, thanks for letting me give my very personal story about the value of Marysville High School Swing Zone Women so far.
Thank you. Susan Huffman.
community care, new parents, been here 5 years officially, actually this week. My two girls, my first girl from Northwood, love Northwood. My girls every day, Ms. Cornell has had to this, complain when I pick them up from school. I think if I would accidentally forget to pick them up on Friday, they wouldn't even realize it and love being there all weekend. I'm here to express my concern and absolute disappointment in the choice of production that will be made, hopefully not. I'm a strong advocate of both academic programs as well as the offering of an extracurricular and sports program that school system can and should provide. I can speak to this because I am a current teacher and a former coach in another district who, like Marysville, is also a 2012-13 district with the designation of excellent with distinction. I completely understand that with the failing of our levies, next cuts do have to be made. Unfortunately, there is no way around that. My number one issue is that not one of the current cuts or effects to a strong program has to do with sports. Not even a higher pay to play. Hands down, we are here to educate our children. It is number one priority in jobs in the district. And any cuts to our academic programs, teachers, and support staff should be made after sports, period. Self-sufficient and pay for the portion that the district is currently providing, therefore saving the jobs of many of our amazing teachers, support staff, as well as programs. One program specifically would be our remarkable music program that is known statewide, and the foundation of that program begins in our elementary level. And for me being here just a few years and only 3 years in education to realize that speaks volumes about this program and this community. Those teachers are the ones who build the passion for music, and it's our elementary teachers. That's where it starts. The foundation is built with elementary music teachers. If it's not built with those students, they will not continue on to the middle school and high school program. In hearing of this, and a possible banded unified arts model scares me tremendously and hands down will kill this program for the high school that has been built up for years, a program for what this community is known for. The hard truth is, as young families or couples research new communities to move into and raise their children, they will go to the OEE website to look at the academic performance of those schools and our schools. And though you may not like it, the last time I checked OEE for our school or any other state school's report card, last season's sports scores did not calculate our performance index, A by P, and or very proud district designation of excellent with distinction. Thank you for your time.
All I have is Nicole.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt, but Taylor Golden is here at 5:30.
I apologize. I thought you said she was with you. Otherwise, I wouldn't pass her up.
Okay, I thought maybe it was just an oversight.
No, I thought you asked me that she was there. You were speaking for two of
them. That would be fine.
No, she's here. She's ready. Go ahead.
It is unfortunate that the value of a healthy school district to the community was not conveyed.
that is collectively our strength and determination and condition of hearts that we come together and demonstrate and voice the value of our choral program. Our understanding is that 5 music educators are to be cut district-wide, a 40% reduction. One of these positions is held by high school choir director and show choir director Jeremy Alfair. Upon learning that Mr. Alfair was a proposed cut, the students, parents, and even other staff members were immediately devastated. The music program will never be the same. Should only 50% of the music department remain, our students in our district would tremendously suffer. Mr. Alfair is the music program at AHS. He is the inspiration, the tool, the joy, and the passion behind the huge increase in our choral program over the past 10 years. He is the reason Marysville Symphonic Choir has earned the highest possible rank of 1 at the OMEA choral competition. He is the reason our auditorium exceeds capacity as our seats are not only filled with parents, but Central Ohio citizens. Residents do not only come to hear us perform, they come because they have seen our commitment to excellence and the devotion and life lessons learned under the leadership of our director. Mr. Alfair is also the director for our nationally recognized award-winning show choir. With over 20 grand champions, Mr. Alfair has created a well-regarded and highly respected name for Marysville in the show choir arena. Show choirs, choral directors, and the music community across the country share immense sorrow and support upon hearing of our situation. When other students are asked to describe Marysville show choir, one word comes to mind and is consistently repeated: clap. At the end of the competition, win or lose, Marysville is the group who stays behind to clean up an auditorium or gymnasium at the host school. Marysville is the group who works as a team to set up our stage, rather than standing back and watching a stage and do it alone. In recent years, the Spaniards have adopted the phrase, "Nice kids can win," as a reminder that we do not have to play dirty to produce a victory. We have integrity. Overall, Marysville is class, and we learned this under the leadership and example of our director, Jeremy Alfair. We understand that this is difficult for you to comprehend our experience simply because our daily environment is much different than each of yours. But I can speak accurately on behalf of our group that choosing to take our way to our director forever changed an enormous part of our lives. Even for some, a part so big, it is a choosing career path. Taking away our director is like taking the oxygen from our lungs. We need music. We need choir, but most of all, we need our director. Jeremy Alfair is more than a teacher. He is a mentor and a role model. His presence, leadership, and direction is needed more than we may comprehend. Our district's mission statement is to provide educational opportunities for students of all ages and abilities to reach their full potential. Help us reach ours by giving us the tools to do so.
My apologies again for getting out of order. Okay, now it's Nicole. Nicole Davidson. Nicole Davidson. Yes.
My daughter has been through a taking French. She does marching band. She is prepared to speak to for you tonight. I mean, her husband is amazing. To lose any one person, Ms. Urbina doesn't realize how much she has touched each and every member of that marching band. Mr. Fisson, Mr. Roser, Mr. Gavin, Mr. Freeman, they're a team. You can't take away one of them. We received grand champions. It is great.
Teresa Goins. Goins.
I honestly come unprepared and unarmed also. I thank you because I honestly was so short and I figured that you would stop the public protestation in 30 minutes. So I apologize for leaving that before being at this meeting. I've come to you quite surprised because this is the first time I've ever been to a board meeting, and obviously, and honestly, the first time I've ever been inspired enough to want to talk. My kids are out of school. I've got a sophomore and senior in college, and Mary Hope has done very, very well. Never once did I ever worry about my kids being prepared for college. As much as I support all these kids here, whether they be business students or art students or show choir kids who I love with all my heart, or just music kids, I'm not here to really talk about that. I am deeply disappointed in the lack of confidence that I feel that you have for not only the teachers of this really great district, but also your building administrators. I am totally
shocked and appalled that on the same board agenda that you would have all of these reductions, that there is even a suggestion of hiring new people. 5.5 of those people to be coaching. You have done a phenomenal job of hiring the best professionals, not only in your classrooms, but those that run your buildings. They are not just leaders of their buildings, they are educational leaders. That came through loud and clear when they stood before you at the beginning of this meeting, and they talked about how much work has already been done with the change to Common Core. These people know their stuff. I will also say that I find it very appalling that you are looking to get rid of two curriculum people who have led this district through this. In order to hire 5.5 more people that are going to do curriculum, moving to the core curriculum is a curriculum job. So we can name it whatever we want to name it, but all you're doing is changing the words. These people know what they're doing, have faith in them to lead the staff and this district through this change. Education is a tough business right now. I'm the first to admit it. It's hard. Being a building leader is very, very difficult right now, but I know these guys can do it, and I know that they want to do it, and they'll take on any task that you give them in order to save their teachers' jobs. So please, I beg you, give them the chance and give this community the chance to save things and to make a difference in these kids' lives.
All right, I'm going to try to read this. I believe it's Michelle Zupa? I'm sorry. Is she here?
My name is Michelle Lapp. I'm thank you for allowing me to speak to you tonight. I'm a mom of five wonderful kids. I've spent my entire adult life raising them, teaching them how to be respectable, have common sense, and to make the right choices. It would be against everything that I've said if I didn't stand up here tonight to talk to you, because I've always told my kids, if you don't speak up, you become part of the problem. And I'm a strong believer of that. Maryville School, from what I've been seeing, seems to be treated like it's being treated like a corporation, even though it's making poor choices. We are also not a big city school. We're Marysville. We're a small country school. And I'm very glad for that. We're a community who cares, and there's other family members who care. I grew up in a community that was very small. My graduating class was 32 kids. But I had a very valuable experience in that, in being shown responsibility. Because in my school, even though we were small, we had everything we needed. There was never a levy, even when a major disaster happened at my school. And the school actually fell in. We were supposed to have a dance. It was right around Valentine's Day. The whole school, part of the school fell down. The board members and everybody had planned ahead. We had a rainy day fund set aside. Nobody lost their jobs. The community pulled together, and everybody worked together to bring the school back. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. And I am absolutely appalled at the way this was all presented to the teachers and being let go. You did it in the middle of the school day. My kids were in school. My kids came home in tears. I can't believe you did that. How cold and heartless. Please.
fighting the tragedy of our own right now, losing all these wonderful features, right in our own town, the elimination of so many things, so many people that are very important to a lot of kids. And one of the big things is that you're eliminating so many things in the art and music, including band, choir, and show choir. I can't believe we keep doing that. If you even go online and you check, if you go to the Children's Music Workshop, it shows 10 values that kids learn from music and art. They learn to be creative. They learn how to stand on their own and how to present themselves. Something that I try to teach my kids too. And there's many other options that can be done instead of getting rid of teachers. There's this old middle school sitting there. I don't know what's being done with that. There's value in that. Somebody could buy that, renovate it, do whatever. There could be revenue right there. Then you save many teachers. I don't know why this couldn't be. And after a brief internet search, try living on a quarter of your income that you make. Try that. It's very difficult. And also, sorry, I'm a little disorganized here. I also agree with what Ms. Salido mentioned, and I'm not sure if I'm mentioning her name correctly, but I think she's very good at what she did. And one of the top 10 reasons in particular for music is they learn better math. They are able to become better singers. And also, I don't know if you attended the care train, but the show choir, the choir was allowed to sing with that. Choir is a very major thing to the benefit of the community. There were so many people in there, it was really a nice event to go to. And also, as a citizen of Marysville, I voted down the levy because there's no more money left to give. There's nothing more. Budgets are stretched, people have lost their jobs in other parts of the community. We simply can't afford anymore. It's time to be responsible too. And stop taking away more from the family. I also believe that everyone in this room has a voice. Everyone has spoken loudly, including the students and everything. You are a panel of seven. You answer to us. The question is will you listen? Thank you, that's all I have.
Reagan Goings. Same Goings as that your
mom? Yeah, I am her sophomore daughter.
All right.
But, so, I am a PR 11 alumni and currently an acting major at Texas State University. And oh, I'm already getting emotional. I need to move right here because I'm going to not get emotional. I don't think I don't even have to be here. Like my mom said, my brother and I are both out of school. I go to Texas. I'm not here for a while. But I thought I didn't know anything how to say this. I guess the best way that I can come up with is talking about a story. And the story starts when I was going to be a seventh grader, and as many of you may not know, seventh grade is when the first thing in the show choir, and we're really into that, and it's really in the fight. And I just got accepted into the major choir, and my parents came to me and said, you know what, we might be moving school district to a district that is extremely academically high and just really wonderful programs. And I remember looking at my mom, and I said, Mom, there's no choir. And she said no. And I remember growing up and all of my role models were those kids in the music program. One of them I saw today, but I haven't seen forever. Her name is Ashley Morgan. She is doing a phenomenal job in a performance career. And I said, Mom, they want a show choir. My cousin had been in show choir, and that was my dream. And she said, fine, we're all good.
looking at you. And so I think I have graduated and have 6 years with these beautiful people and this wonderful, wonderful team that you guys put together. Mr. Alvera, Mr. Robertson, and Mrs. Philpott. And I can't imagine losing one of them, especially Mr. Alvera. Because I will tell you, and it is a hard thing to do what we do if you want to get into a career of music or performance, but it is one of those things you just have to do, and you know that you do. And so, all of the kids wanted an acting major, musical theater majors, there are music ed majors, and even the kid in art, my friends in art, Airy, and all of them, it's so hard. And the one person that helped us do it was Mr. Robert. He would compose these brilliant things and he could pick the auditions and he would help you. And I can't put into words how much he means to me and how much he means to all of these people here. So I just want you all to think about that for a second. And I'm telling you, I get emotional about it. Gosh darn it, works. So thank you for your time.
Okay, again, I'm going to throw it out to the board. We've again run past our 30 minutes. We probably only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 6 more people. Everybody okay moving on? Okay. Katie Tracy and Kendra Burns. You know which one's going first?
Katie.
Okay.
I'll be short.
Okay.
I'm Katie Tracy. I'm a Campbell Consumer Science teacher at the high school. I'm in my fifth year of teaching there. I just kind of wanted to speak on my behalf of the other Campbell Consumer Science teachers that I work with. Campbell Consumer Science Department, 3 teachers at a high school and 2 at the middle school, have been a source of life and career preparing lessons for nearly 1,700 students. Due to the failure of the November levy, it has been reduced to 1 teacher at a high school and 1 at the middle school. Currently at the high school, the Family Consumer Science Department offers 36 sessions per year from a selection of 9 different classes. This is now reduced to only 1 teacher being able to offer 12 sessions per year of 6 different class offerings. This will make a huge impact on what students will be able to take as life-preparing, meaningful electives and will put many more in study hall. I speak from not only from the perspective of an SPS teacher, but also from the perspective of an alumni. Having graduated from NHS in 2004, the drastic changes we made at the high school are very disappointing. Few students will have the same opportunities as I did. My name is Kendra Burris, and I am an intervention specialist at Maryville High School. Although our department was not touched by the vote that took place on Friday, I just want you to know my heart broke Friday. One of my best friends standing here is reduced. And even though I'm an intervention teacher, it affects my kids greatly. There's limited elective classes that they can take. A lot of our kids are not going to sign up for forensic science. They're not going to sign up for these higher level elective classes. And we rely on our family consumer teachers, we rely on our industrial art teachers, we rely on all of them to educate our kids. They need to learn how to sew, even though how minimal that may seem, they need to know those cooking skills and sewing skills and how to fit those curtains in their house. We need to know these things, we need to know how to type, and I just pray that you guys will consider these positions. Just for, not just for my kids, my little group kids, but for every student in that school. They need these teachers. They need them. Please, just reconsider. Thank you.
Jenny Wynn. About to say, you don't have
to. It's not even here to have a school, so she can reach my phone. But I am Mr. Rockefeller. I am speaking on behalf of her. She asked me to speak for the meeting because she could not be here, so I hope you're okay with that.
Sure.
She's prepared and she asked me to recite her words for her. Jenny is a teacher at Creekview. She is a multiple handicapped teacher. She's been with us for 9 years, and she's a Spitfire person, and she is just lucky to have our building. So these are Jenny's words. My name is Jenny Wayne. I have been a resident of Marysville all of my life. I have been an employee of this district for about 9 years. I love my job and truly enjoy it every day. When I began looking for a job, I hope that I get a job here because I knew that this was a community of caring. I have always respected the tough decisions people have had to make for this district. I respect the fact that times are hard, which makes decisions even harder to make. And I appreciate that you have chosen to take on this responsibility. I tend to understand things better through comparisons and analogies. I compare all of you to our government. It is your job to evaluate the big picture and do what is best for the whole. In order for the system to work, however, we must all trust that people are looking out for the best interest of us all. I feel that anyone who willingly comes into this profession has to have some level of commitment, otherwise it would be very difficult to stay. I care deeply for all of my students, and I try my best every day to prepare them for life after school. I hope that the families that I work with trust that I'm always looking out for their child's best interest. That same level of trust needs to be had between all staff members within the district and anyone who oversees it. It would be a horrible thing if people lost that trust with one another within the school system. The ones who would lose the most would truly be the students. I believe that we all need to evaluate how much evidence we are showing each other that we can trust. Trust is a hard thing to earn, and I would hate for that to be lost. As a parent in this district, I worry about my own children's education. I've always used school as the medium to give you the information that you need to survive after the school years. With many programs being cut, I worry that they may never be able to realize their passion for the arts, a foreign language, or even for mechanical work. I found my passion when I was in high school, and I have never turned my back on it. I want my children to have the same opportunity. I would say that I'm a pretty connected person in the community, and as I speak with people about school issues, I'm amazed at the misinformation that is in our community. People think that teachers make too much money. They think we have secretaries earning $70,000 to $80,000 a year. I try my best to explain the information to them, but I am just one person. We need help getting the correct information out to the public, and I feel that this board has failed in that option. We need people to understand the true situation. I have had many community members tell me that if they would have known that it was people who desperately love their jobs and our students were going to lose those jobs, they would have paid closer attention. I believe that we as a staff, the board, and even the community need to work together to help people understand the truth. Truth is found, trust is found in the truth, and without that, there can be no community. What's done is done, and we all need to move forward from here. My concern is where we are moving to, and if we as an entire district are doing all that we can to ensure that we're doing what is good for the whole. On behalf of Jenny, thank you. As a parent here in the district and a teacher, I just want to address real quick the issue about school safety. As a parent, as a teacher, we pride ourselves in educating our children first.
but their safety is the most important thing. And I believe this last move is going to be a way to looking for an out. And that means alert, lockdown, inform, counter, and evacuate. And I can bet my $5 is on a teacher in this room that would huddle in the corner.
Stacey Van Dyke. Carol Clark. Carol Clark. Oh, all right. I don't know if we're back down to the bottom of the list. Alicia Adams. Oh, she's okay.
You must have got the last spot in the building.
Thank you so much for allowing me to talk about this. I'm a mom of two kids in the school system. I'm a male mom, and I'm a mom of a part-time child. So I get to see all the assets that parents school schools have to offer. In listening to everybody speak tonight, it seems like there's three issues that need to be addressed. Funding, of course. Can you do research on how schools are funded? The system is serving. You guys have a very difficult job. I won't take that away from you. However, I think there can be alternatives. The woman that spoke before me asked you to partner in a partnership with the community, most of which, not all, probably can't do this situation. So I think that we're relatively educated, creative, supportive, enthusiastic. And I think tonight, the bottom line is, we're asking for a little bit of trust. You trust in us, we'll trust in you, a little bit more transparency, a little bit more communication, and we can get through this. Hands down.
Jen Miller.
I too will thank you for spending time with all the parents who wish to speak. I'm a mother of two monarchs. I'm proud to do that. I graduated from Hilliard. And when we moved to Marysville, we moved here with the hope that this is such a great community. Everybody says that it's family, family, family. I don't see that anymore. The word I'm going to use tonight is disappointed. I'm disappointed in the fact that my children who have looked up to Mr. Lanchette, Mr. L, and Dave Hill, who can't do that anymore. I'm disappointed in our board that left our community let us down with this letter. We did. We didn't vote for it. I voted for it, but we couldn't pass it. I had to go searching for a yard sign to put in my yard. I shouldn't have done that because I'm not in my yard. It is your responsibility, every one of you who's elected, to make sure that my children have a positive male model. There is one man in the elementary that does that. That's Mr. L. And he's taking him from us as far next year if this plan passes. We ask that you consider that. Not only that, but as parents bringing up to the children in the community, we ask that you speak deep and hard about all these other programs that we hear about tonight that are so near and dear to our hearts that my children want to be able to experience. And if you take them away, they won't be there when they get to high school. And that's just devastating to every parent in here with young children. It's unacceptable and it's devastating. And it's your job to help us fix this. Tell us what you need. You failed. You didn't do that. You didn't tell us what you needed. We could have backed you up. You tell us, it is. I just ask that you please communicate with the parents more. You tell the community what you need so that we don't lose another leader, another great male model, and another wonderful man that we're going to lose in Mr. L. So, thank you.
I'm going to throw it out one more time in case Carol Clark was out in the rest. Yes, sir? You're it. Use that one right there. Okay.
Okay. I've been so nice to Elizabeth and everybody that's been talking, and you don't know I'm on my power, so whatever I say, I do a question on that here. We can talk about it because there's sometimes there's arguments. But, you know, I have been in Marysville for almost 4 years. I love Marysville. I have stood for everything for Marysville, whether it's fans, football, whatever. Okay? And I'm for all of those things. And I think that I listen a little bit to the board, but my God, I mean, this is Marysville. We got to stick together. All they hear is about 4 years and 4 years. But when you have somebody comes up and talks and blames people, and then doesn't vote for it, it's like, okay, then we're going to be tough. $125 and have 40 some meetings. And I get sick and tired of hearing the 40 some meetings. $20 for all that time. And then to have the group that's supposed to be together, the board and the teachers, to work together, if they're not getting together with the teachers, then shame on them. And if the teachers aren't getting along with them, to sit down and talk and say, how can we not cut teaching jobs? Period. Okay? Cut football. Everybody knows that I'm a big football fan. Cut all the extra. You never, if you can possibly never do it, you never cut a teacher's job. You talk about what you do, but you have to, guys, you have to stick together. I mean, like Larry, I've known Larry for 35 years, 30 years, whatever. I mean, me, one of you guys asked me about security and said, hey, well, how do we do the schools? I've been doing it all my life. I'll be more glad. I just did one. Okay? I've talked to schools all over about drugs for the past 20 years. Like Larry, as opposed to saying something, I would call him, I'd call somebody on the board and said, hey, how can I help? I love this community. I will help. Me. I'm on Seinfeld. I did all that. Or the community. Okay? What we have to understand as teachers and the people in this community, if you want top in programs, and Marysville has been ever since I've been here, we've grown, but sooner or later you have to pay for the good ones. We have to have, I'll say I'm to blame because I didn't go out and push the left. Okay? Oh no, how many people here didn't put the time in the past letting to let the people know what is going to happen if we don't pass the levy? Shame on whoever didn't get that word, was out of paper, and shame on whoever was in charge of the levy. Okay, letting the people knew what was going to happen and let them understand we're not going to have our hands on the floor. Okay? But everybody has to take a blank and not go out and push it. Just not five people up here in the board. It's all of us that take it and it fails the office. We got to get back, we got to get going.
Tell me how you can let everyone else know.
Thank you.
Seriously.
I'm trying to say, we have to do a better job as a community, get the word out, to let people know the consequences that are going to happen down the road. And we got to stick together.
Mr. Powers.
Stand and have fights.
Just want to make sure we're not getting out of control.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I can tell you're very passionate.
Oh, I am about Marysville.
I know you are. And thank you very much. You're the last one.
Okay, can I say something
else? Quickly. It's on, isn't
it? Okay. So I've heard a couple people mention it, but the Woodward Union School is really, really important. Without Mr. Corbett in my life, I wouldn't be as far as I do, and I wouldn't be so successful. I've heard working at the top, and I love it. I love the people I work with. Everybody's just so friendly. And this is what it's for the teacher. He's a friend for every student, and anybody who goes to a classroom, he's a friend too. He's friendly, and you should not, like, that's a very important part of our school district, and any student who goes through this class
That ends public participation, and thank you all of you for coming up and speaking to the board. Next up, I need a motion to approve the plan for reductions as listed in your agenda, please.
Smith.
Can I get a second?
Okay.
Moved and second. Ms. Mankins.
First of all, I'd like to thank everyone who came out tonight and shared their passions and beliefs and heartfelt messages. And as all of you know, I've been in the district for since July 1st, 6 months. And it doesn't take very long to fall in love with the staff and the students and the town of Marysville. It only takes a little bit of time of being here to feel the impact of that community, or of this community, and be a part of that community. As the board knows, in my interview, we discussed at length the financial situation of this district. We also talked about the dismal outlook of the five-year forecast that I would be inheriting, and we also recognized at that time the small window of opportunity we had to do, that we could do anything about that. November was our last option in order to generate new money for this district. This fiscal cliff, which is a popular word right now, has been haunting this school system for some time. With $6.9 million of reductions over the past 5 years, it didn't matter what situation that we were up against. We knew November counted for us and was instrumental and helping us maintain what we were currently offering students, staff, and the community here. We knew we needed that money to balance our budget, as we talked about with looking into the 2013-14 school year. But we also knew, in order to keep the district from entering fiscal watch with the state auditor and Ohio Department of Education, that this money was essential. Prior to the levy, we did put out a framework of reductions to be considered if the levy was unsuccessful. Within that framework, we recognized a $2 million reduction would be necessary to balance next year's budget. Since the levy failure, we've examined that framework extensively. And I have to say, if I've learned nothing in the past time that I've been here, that there's absolutely no easy way to deliver bad news. Tonight you have before you a list of recommended reductions and a restructuring plan. On this list tonight, there are only positions. However, if I didn't say this, I would be remiss that behind every one of these positions is a person who has brought substantial value and worth to our students, staff, and school community, and that needs to be recognized. Tonight, we heard varying opinions and views on what should have been done, could have been done, instead of reductions, and many of which we've talked about at length. I think that as a capacity in this group, we can all agree that in this situation, the only perfect decision was a levy passage in November. And unfortunately, we're left with anything but a perfect decision. Every list or thing that we put together would be subject to scrutiny and would be subject to not being the perfect list, and I think we all know that. Quite honestly, the perfect solution just simply does not exist right now. At the forefront of these decisions, we did keep students first. I feel like we committed to the district's mission, vision, belief statements, and established goals to prepare kids for all students to be prepared for the 21st century and the new accountability system that lies on the horizon for the school district. With a sincere recognition of how difficult this is on our students, our staff, and our community, And for all of you making the decision, I'm recommending the reductions as listed on your agenda.
All right. Any conversation? Starting with Ms. Well, I'm going to start with Ms. Powell.
Yes, I move to make a motion to table this item until some of the other options that Superintendent Mankins previously handed to us as a board. I feel we need to research such items as busing and extracurricular activities.
Is there a second to that motion? We'll call for a second time for a second to that motion. I'll call for a third and last for a second to that motion. Hearing none, that motion dies. Mr. Lasker.
I guess what I would like to say is, I think some of what Mike had said makes a lot of sense. I mean, we have to work together on things. Appears to be obvious, and I think a lot of us have to do a time frame to put ourselves on, and try and come up with new reductions in such a quick time frame as we requested. What lacked was us being able to communicate, a lot of our decisions based on the vision of where we see this district going. We talk about putting students first. From their perspective, they don't know the details of what we discuss, just by the nature of the whole thing. And so it's probably hard for me to see that we're putting students first in our decision making. So I guess my thought is, with the idea of putting these risks later,
sure,
that between now and then, that we're, if I'm just suggesting this, I don't know if it's possible, that we can get into some of those details and start to communicate, the vision that got us to approve this list. And maybe it changes over time, but at least, let's get that communication out so that we're all talking from the same position. That's my thought.
Sue?
Yeah, first of all, I want to thank my family and everyone who's been praying for us, our administration, our entire staff, and my fellow board members, because these last 6 weeks have been hell for all of us. None of us are sleeping under the seat. Trust me, I know. That's nothing compared to what you all are going through. I do think, though, that there is, I know as I work through this process, there are many, many, many questions that I have, many things that I look at that doesn't make sense. And, I'm a new board member. There's lots of things about school funding I didn't understand. Lots of things about school staffing I didn't understand. The core curriculum coming up, just a lot of things that, at a certain point you say we do have professionals and there's some faith involved and there's some experience behind some decisions and some recommendations. And I also agree with Doug that, we had to come up with a plan to produce a budget to send to the state. And I know that we haven't had time to really explain the reason behind it and also explain some of our options for covering some things that appear to be cut. We were very intentional in trying our best to not cut anything and to make sure that we would continue to provide all the classes that are, not all the classes, but in the areas where our kids have a chance to learn. We appreciate our teachers tremendously. And this is definitely, there's just no words put into what we have to deal with here. The facts are that the levy didn't pass. I know there are a lot of options out there, and that's why I think that, if we move forward, let's get the plan out there, let's start the conversation back and forth, and let's see what kind of creative solutions we can come up with. I was talking to one person, and told them to get their checkbooks out. That's one idea. I heard someone else say that. There's lots of creative solutions, and I think we're willing to listen to all of them. But I think we need, you know, we've spent a lot of time on this plan, and there is a lot more behind it that people don't understand. And that's my comment. But I would also like to say one thing, though. I think people who know me value my honesty, and I have to say that I am also disappointed that Larry chose to come up and present things publicly. Instead of dealing professionally with Diane and presenting his concerns and hearing and at least getting to hear what her thoughts are behind this. I think that's a professional thing to do. And I was told that that was going to happen, so I am disappointed.
If you don't like your
office,
all right.
Mrs. Greer.
And shame on you, Jeff, maybe, for lack of leadership. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Mrs. Greer.
I would just kind of like to reiterate what Sue and Doug have said. We have spent many, many hard hours going over all of the information, all of our options, all of our choices. And at every point of the decision, you know, the first thought was, is this the best thing for the kids? Is this the best thing for our kids? And we never moved forward unless it was the best thing for our kids. And that has been at the forefront of all of our decisions, as tough as they are. And while sometimes it might seem the right thing to do when you're looking at it as at a financial aspect, it doesn't make your heart hurt any less, because like Diane said, there's a person and a family attached to every one of these. And because we are such a tight-knit community, it really does make your heart hurt to have to make these decisions.
You know, I guess I would agree with that. When I look at these positions on the list, you know, I probably know half the people on this list. They're friends of mine, people I've had dinner with, I've been to their homes. So it's I got to tell you, it's an excruciating decision-making process to have to go through this. This district has been in reduction mode for years. And to be honest with you, the low-hanging fruit is long since gone from the tree. And as we sit here today, we're getting ready to cut branches off. We indicated that this district would look different if the levy failed. And unfortunately, this is the new face of the district. As terrible as that is, it's the reality that we're facing now. And it's devastating, I'll be honest with you. So, any further discussion?
I just want to say again that we vow to listen, listen to ideas and to work together as a community, because we do want this to be a team. We do want this to be a team effort.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
No.
Okay, motion carries. Next up on the agenda is the approval of a motion to approve the November 28th, the December 8th, December 13th, and the November 15th minutes as submitted by the Treasurer, please.
Move.
Second. I'll second. Move and second. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mr. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up is the Treasurer CFO action items. I need a motion to approve items A and B from the Treasurer CFO action items, please.
Moved and second.
Cindy, what do you have?
Just go over the bond retirement fund. Those are the amounts for the refund funding and the bond that will save $1.9 million for the district.
Any questions on those? Hearing none, I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Zavani?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the impracticality of school transportation as noted in item A. Second, any discussion? Hearing none, your roll call, please.
Yes. Yes. Mr. Mady?
Yes.
Mr. Bond?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Howard?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the superintendent action items, including the one on the addendum for the resignation. I need a motion to approve those, please.
Second.
Moving second. Who's second? Is that Amy? Sue. Do you have anything to add to those, Diane?
No.
Any discussion from the board? Hearing none, any roll call, please.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mr. Devine?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Mady?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Okay, item 14. Was there any closing comments from any members of the board? Mrs. Powers, I'll start with you.
No.
Mr. Lassiter?
I'd just like to go back to reiterating the fact that the timeline is something that we had a reservation about it, but we agreed to it because it was strongly requested by staff to do it. And I feel like, everybody has had the right intentions in working through the process. We all know the decision based on truth first. It's unfortunate that we have it's not a two-way conversation. I also want to make sure that we're clear that we didn't cut music. We didn't cut show choir. We didn't cut any of those things. None of those programs we talked about. So I just want to make sure that. And then, I guess the other thing I'd like to offer out is that, because there are families that are impacted by this, that they all keep those families in their prayers.
Pray
that God bless
him
transition and bless
him.
Okay, Mr. Devine.
I would just reiterate that this has been a long, methodical process that everyone was fully engaged in, and Diane has spent a tireless amount of time, as has Cindy, and the board has been, we have worked together very well, everybody, in trying to be available. Nobody has missed any meetings. Everyone has worked well in trying to do what $2 million from our budget is a lot. And right, we have cut so much and reduced here and there that everybody was, you know, fully engaged in the difficult decision in keeping our kids first the best we could.
Diane, do you have any final comments?
It's a difficult time for everyone. And, you know, we have to push forward and come together, and I appreciate Mr. Powers' comments about the end. Certainly, reductions cause divide, and it's going to be difficult on the system, but now more than ever, we need each other. We have work to do still in the spring, and the loss of the potential attached to those, the TDP, would be devastating for this district. At minimum, another $2 million. It would be an unbelievable experience to wrap our mind around going in and looking at an additional $2 million.
Cindy?
I agree. It's been devastating on all of us, very hard. And this is a team, and we are working together as a team. And I feel that the community will support us in the future. Maybe we didn't give them out enough information. Maybe I need to give more information out as part of our web. But it takes everybody, and we've been given a hard thing to lose $2 million, but in the long run, we're going to have to stick together to get this district back where it was.
You know, I want to comment about Diane. I mean, you got here in July, and, you know, right out of the chute, you're running a levy campaign. You know, and I know you're new to the district. You got your family here, and you spent probably every available night out talking to community groups and whatnot. And then with the loss of the levy, you immediately have to turn around and figure out a way to pull $2 million out of the budget there's not $2 million laying in there. I mean, I believe that the meetings and the discussions that this board had, I mean, they were long, they were deep, and I honestly think that they were long-term and student-first in the forefront. It's unfortunate, it's devastating, and it's certainly not something I ever want to have to do again. I'll be honest with you. So, Ms. Powers.
I just want to tell everybody, don't lose heart. We are family. Let's keep going. Let's go. Let's find a solution. We can do this as a team. So I'm kind of asking for you to keep your hearts open. And don't shut them up.
Any further comments?
If I could say one more thing. I think that you're right. The situation in the fall was miserable, but I do think it's my charge to push forward in a long-range vision, because we cannot get back into a spot like we are right now. It's just not responsible to our community, but ultimately it's not responsible to those young faces that sat there and looked at us tonight. And, I think you've seen that. We're pushing forward, trying to look out 5 years. It doesn't make today any better, and I understand that, but we've got to look beyond here, and we'll be committed to doing that.
I think it's important to, you know, we have talked about some of those other areas that were brought up in the conversation, but there are plans in the works. I mean, I know that Diane is holding up the whole picture, and I kind of remind you that when we first came on, we talked about our finances and how it's not just operating, it's operating bonds, it's permanent improvement, how we look at it as a whole. And I think that's where Diane has a vision, and not all of it is clear at this point for a lot of people. But, so it looks like we're just focusing on that, but there is a complete vision out there to make us long term sustainable.
Any other comments? Hearing none, then I move we adjourn. Moved and second, roll call, please.
Ms. Grady.
Yes.
Ms. Blackman.
Yes.
Powers.
Yes.
Here.
Yes.
Devon.
Yes.
Okay, we are adjourned.